That was sponsored by Christy Burton and well on its way to getting 76,000 signatures to get on the November ballot. But that is the hurdle we have to pass, and we need your help. So we'll be talking more about that. But first, this tragic news story out of the Deseret News in Utah. An Orem man, Orem, Utah, a 19-year-old man was arrested for raping a 13-year-old girl, which is, of course, a felony. He claimed that it was consensual, but in Utah state law, thank God, that is statutory rape. A 13-year-old is unable to consent to sex. And so he's being charged, but the reason I bring this up, there are so many sexual crimes in America. I mean, just look at our pop culture and our, whether it's MTV or Black Entertainment TV, BET, is that what it's called? Or on and on and on, where women are presented like just meat, like filth in the gutter to be used and discarded. And so, of course, that leads to a destruction of the value in the mind of the culture toward women and young girls, and even girls themselves devaluing their own worth, not realizing that they are worth waiting for, and so on. Well, in this case, the reason I bring up this particular crime is because this 19-year-old raped the 13-year-old girl and then gave her a morning after pill. And this is exactly, it is exactly, have you seen the commercial put out by Steve Curtis, lifecommercials.com? This is exactly the kind of threat that is being exposed in his video. He's got a commercial, a 60-second commercial. If you go to lifecommercials.com, it's called The Next Big Lie. And the commercial is, how do you describe it? It's disturbing. It is one step removed from a slasher movie, a horror movie. And the production quality, of course, is typical Steve Curtis. Now, Steve and Jim Anderson, they are the founders of Life Commercials, their website, lifecommercials.com. And you know Steve from this program because he's also the vice president of American Right to Life. And, in fact, Steve has a banquet coming up April 25th for lifecommercials.com. But have you seen that 60-second spot? It is chilling. It's disturbing because it shows with the morning after pill, in fact, all the chemical abortifacients that are used to make it easy to kill an unborn child in the womb chemically. They're pesticides, human pesticides, chemical weapons of mass destruction. And what they do, in addition to killing those children, millions of whom are completely abandoned by the National Right to Life pro-life industry because they think that it's unwise to try to defend those kids. Now, they think that because, well, they don't even like to protect the kids whose fathers are criminals. Abortion for rape and incest. They've been supporting candidates who advocate killing children whose fathers are criminals for so long that the very foundation of personhood has been destroyed, even within the pro-life movement. So we have an entire federal judiciary where our judges that we got on the bench, having worked for 30 years to get pro-life presidents, our judges, for the most part, they all reject the God-given right to life of the unborn. And so that is where the pro-life industry is at. They've abandoned these victims, but then it works uphill. The kids who are killed by the chemical abortifacients, they're the first victims, but then there are the women, especially the younger and younger girls, who voluntarily have sex or are intimidated or coerced into sex or just flat out raped. And they themselves, or those who are assaulting them, have these pills that they can pop, and that can help hide the crime or hide the sexual immorality from others, from the police, from parents, from teachers, classmates, and so on. And so there is this abandonment of the victims of chemical abortifacients, not only the victims who are killed, and you might as well bury them in tiny coffins and put them in the ground in cemeteries, but there's also the abandonment of those young girls, younger and younger girls, because the threshold for them to have sex and apparently escape any consequences is lowered by this availability, widespread availability, of the morning after pill, Plan B. And, of course, RU-46, and even the birth control pill, which acts as an abortifacient at times. When it doesn't stop ovulation, it will stop implantation. So you have the baby growing. You know, I spoke at a church a few weeks ago, their main weekly service, about 170 people. After the service, one guy comes up to me and says that he gives me the story of his daughter who one of the networks are asking for the rights to make a movie out of her experience with abortion, which is pretty fascinating. Another woman comes up to me and says, I had an ectopic pregnancy, and after the baby was removed, I asked the abortionist not to discard it, and I want to show you a picture of the baby. She showed me a picture of the baby. It was startling. The baby in her fallopian tube, and you could see the baby. It's just awesome. It was growing for a week or more in the fallopian tube. Or it had to be a couple weeks. Actually, it was a couple weeks. She went into her doctor, and she said, I have an ectopic pregnancy on my left side. And he said, no, that's not possible. You can't even know you're pregnant, let alone know you have an ectopic pregnancy on that side. She said, well, I understand that, but I do, and I have one, and you better check. So he did an ultrasound, and sure enough, there's the baby in the tube. So these are the kinds of stories that people have, and they're startling. But that church was an example of churches where Christians are eager to speak out and take the lead to try to stop this injustice of killing unborn children. And so the chemical abortifacients that are so common, that National Right to Life has abandoned those victims, not only the victims of the kids being killed by them, but then the women who are in a increasing way susceptible to sexual abuse, sexual assault, and even to be simply coerced by boyfriends and breaking down that inhibition because, come on, if anything happens, just take this pill. And that's it. And your daughter is turned into a tramp by the culture, by Planned Parenthood, by Walmart. They sell this stuff, right? Plan B, the morning after pill. Chemical abortions. Walmart provides abortions. How's that? And so does every other major pharmacy chain, as far as I know. Which one doesn't? So that's the crisis that we're in. Now, Alan Keyes, speaking of a crisis, he has let it be known. In fact, I'm looking at an article from the American View by John Lofton that he's leaving the Republican Party. And he very well may run for president with the Constitution Party. So we'll keep you informed on that. But that would, of course, be fascinating. We have this crisis, this judicial crisis, where pro-lifers were told if we elect Republican presidents, we'll get a culture of life, and judges, federal judges who believe in the right to life for the unborn. Well, it's turned out. Is there ever a time, I'd like to ask, National Right to Life, I'd like to ask the Conference of Catholic Bishops that came out against Colorado's personhood effort, I'd like to ask, is there ever a time where we're allowed to analyze the results of that strategy of 30 years? Could we look now and see how pro-life are the judges that we've got on the bench? And it turns out that there is not one on the U.S. Supreme Court. 7 of the 9 were nominated by Republican presidents, 7 of the 9. Not one defends the right to life of the unborn, not one. And throughout the whole federal judiciary, 60% of those judges nominated by Republican presidents, that federal judiciary rejects the right to life of the unborn. So what do? We just continue with the same strategy and lie to ourselves that it's working? We just need one more justice. We just need one more judge on the Supreme Court. Then we could try to win this thing. And that's what the Archbishop down in Atlanta said. So I have an article here by Judy Brown, and she is the president of American Life League. She's coming out to Colorado Friday night, April 4th. I'm going to be at that dinner. It's an Italian fest. Italian food is good. And this is at Sinzetti's, and their Italian food is very good, especially their calamari. It's good stuff. At any rate, Judy's coming out to speak at two fundraising dinners, one in Denver Friday night, and one in Colorado Springs Saturday night, to raise funds to get these 76,000 signatures on the ballot. That takes money because you need an infrastructure. And Keith Mason, Christy Burton, they're doing a fabulous job toward that goal. By my estimate, they did announce a couple weeks ago how many signatures they had back then. So by my estimate, they have about 40,000 signatures, which is tremendous. You want to talk about hard work. And we were at Horton Hears a Who Friday afternoon, 1 o'clock, and a woman comes up, Susan. She lives in South Denver with her husband and her kids. And she said, well, I've been collecting signatures, and I want to turn them in because Christy Burton was there, the sponsor of the amendment initiative. And she said, I brought my petitions, and she turned over 940 signatures. 940, one gal, Susan. And it was fabulous to meet her and learn about her family. And she said, and by the way, I'm not done. She said, we have till when? May 1st or so? We have till May 13th, but then the signatures have to be processed and turned into the Secretary of State. So we have about a month and a half left. She said, I'm not done. It took me 2 months to get those, and I'm going to keep going. Wow, that's encouraging. That is encouraging. Well, Judy Brown is coming to town to help with that whole effort, and I pray that you can go. I'd like to see you there, meet you, a fellowship. That's April 4th, Friday night in Denver. I might go to the Saturday dinner in Colorado Springs. It'd be another $100. That's a lot of money, right, for a $100 a plate fundraiser? That's a lot of money for me. We have all these kids, you know. But I'm definitely going to go, Lord willing, to the one in Denver. And if you'd like to go, let me give you Colorado Right to Life's phone number. But then I want to excerpt from you. I want to quote from an article Judy Brown wrote about a week ago. And she mentions Keith Mason in here, who is the grassroots coordinator for the personhood effort here in Colorado. But the phone number, if you'd like to go to the dinner, it's 303-753-9394, 303-753-9394. It's at Sinzetti's in Denver. That's north of Denver at I-25 and 104th. And then down in Colorado Springs, you could find out about that. Just go to our website, kgov.com, and we have all the particulars. Whether you want to go in the Springs or in Denver, April 4th and 5th. Okay, well, Judy Brown wrote an article about the Catholic bishops, and she's Catholic. She's on the Pontifical Committee for Life. She's done that. She's serving her second five-year term there. She's been on, you know, virtually every major media outlet in the country for 30 years defending the uncompromised right to life of the unborn. And she points out that this past January 17th down in Georgia, Catholic bishops there came out against the Georgia personhood amendment. And then in Montana, the Catholic bishops there came out against the personhood amendment. And then she writes, 2 days later, after the Montana effort, February 28th, the Colorado Catholic Conference issued a statement opposing the personhood ballot initiative by Colorado for Equal Rights. And all that would do is define person in the Colorado Constitution to be a human from the moment of fertilization. And they said that we think that, well, we cannot support this personhood amendment at this time. And so Judy Brown goes through and tries to analyze what is going on. What in the world is going on? And by the way, she points out that the Colorado Conference denied that any of the bishops had lent their support to the personhood initiative being promoted by Colorado for Equal Rights, even though Bishop Tafoya, one of the three bishops in the state, had his picture taken with the campaign leader, Keith Mason, and had given every indication that he supported the effort. That's right. And, you know, and there's, so what's happened basically is a turn by the Colorado Catholic leadership from either neutral or neutral to supporting to opposing. And so what is going on? Well, like the Archbishop in Atlanta said, well, we need one more judge. We need one more judge. Well, what will one more judge get? If we get one pro-life judge on the U.S. Supreme Court, that'll mean we have one pro-life judge on the U.S. Supreme Court. That's what that will give us, one. Oh, we're talking about judges who are willing to overturn Roe v. Wade. Well, there are two of those, two. There are two, Scalia and Thomas, two. There are two of those. Now, with the Gonzales v. Carhart ruling, the partial birth abortion manual that they wrote, which explains how to continue to perform partial birth abortions and make sure that it's legal to pull the baby out to the belly button, then you could kill it, or just give it a lethal injection before you start and kill it. That's that ruling. And there, we had Scalia and Thomas, Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas, and they said, we'd like to overturn Roe v. Wade. But John Roberts and Samuel Alito, that was a concurring opinion they wrote. It was a separate concurring opinion. It was about 100 words. It was a tiny opinion. And what they said was, we'd like to overturn Roe v. Wade. So George W. Bush's two newest appointees to the court, nominees, they didn't concur. They didn't join in that opinion. And that forced even National Right to Life to say, we don't know whether these judges would support overturning Roe v. Wade. So we have 40 years of this now, 40 years since 1966 when Mississippi legalized abortion, killing a child if the father's a criminal. In 1967 in Colorado, we legalized abortion if the child's father is a criminal or if there are medical problems. And so after 40 years of electing pro-life politicians to get judges who respect the right to life of the unborn, are we allowed now to evaluate the strategy and see whether it's working or not? Are we allowed to do that? We can't do it. So Judy Brown, in her article, which, by the way, you can get it at her website at ALL.org or Alan Key's website at RenewAmerica.us, she writes, for the record, it was not even someone in the pro-life movement, but rather United States Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun. He's the one who wrote Roe v. Wade. Harry Blackmun. He wrote Roe v. Wade. And by the way, that reminds me, if you're a videographer, if you're good at video editing and you'd like to help out with Focus on the Strategy 3, we need some help by some creative videographers. So if that might be you, please call us here at Bob and Yurt Live, 303-463-7789, 303-463-7789. Yeah, we need somebody who's good with editing and a camera. That's what we need. But anyway, so Harry Blackmun, he wrote Roe v. Wade. Now, he was a Democrat, right, Judge? No, he was a Republican. And at the time when they passed Roe v. Wade in 1973, the court was a Democratic court, right? No, it was a Republican court. And it was a Republican court passed Roe v. Wade, which was written by a Republican judge. We tend to forget that, right? In Colorado, it was our Republican governor, John Love, who signed abortion into law in Colorado. In California, it was a Republican governor. His name was Ronald Reagan, who signed abortion into law in California. We've sort of accepted we're taking our own drugs. We're taking our own drugs that we're selling to the public. We think it's a Democratic Party problem. The Republican Party has pretty much pulled the wool over its own eyes. How do you do that one? How do you deceive yourself? How do you deceive yourself? So there needs to be a shakeup in the political strategy of the pro-life movement. And there are people like Bob Schaefer, you know, he's a longtime Colorado Republican, and he despises this personhood amendment effort, despises it. And it seems like people who have something vested in the status quo of money or influence or power, they hate a personhood effort. They hate it. They want to regulate abortion. They want to pass more laws that say, well, you got to sign this piece of paper, then you could kill your baby. Or you have to get your parents' permission, then you could kill your baby. That's what the Catholic bishops in Montana want to do. They want to work on that. These child-killing regulations, which the regulations themselves are responsible for turning our own judges into pro-aborts. Now, how does that happen? You'll have to think that through for yourself. Our laws turn our judges into pro-aborts. So Judy Brown points out that this justice Harry Blackmun wrote in the Roe v. Wade decision itself, he wrote that if personhood is established, the abortion case collapses because then the fetus' right to life is guaranteed by the 14th Amendment. So, of course, that's true. I mean, legally, if you establish the personhood of the child, then all the laws that protect persons from being killed by others would apply. And so these Catholic bishops who are opposing this, they're the latest to oppose this, they're saying things like, well, these personhood amendments, they don't have much of a chance of ending or even reducing abortion. Well, then why did you guys support the partial birth abortion effort for 15 years? I mean, anyone who simply thought about that law for 1 minute would know it didn't have the authority to stop even a single abortion, not one. And you guys supported it in Colorado. You got it on the ballot in Colorado. The Denver Archdiocese got it on the ballot in Colorado in the 1990s. And the campaign, there was even no effort put into the campaign. It was a huge flop, and the pro-aborts won. And so it made the pro-lifers look like idiots. We can't even stop partial birth abortion in Colorado, late-term abortion. Where was the fear then that it might not pass? And where was the fear that, you know what, this won't stop. This doesn't have the authority to stop a single abortion. There was no fear because it was part of the status quo. It was part of the committee effort to continue the fundraising and keep our guys in power. And there is a grassroots movement of Protestants and Catholics who are challenging the de facto old guard leadership of the pro-life industry. And guess what? The personhood wing of the pro-life movement is on the advance, and the child-killing regulators are on the defensive. A Colorado Right to Life, I got in my email an ad that they plan on running in a homeschool publication, which is pretty cool. And I'd like to read that ad to you. And it's pretty exciting, I think. It's pretty exciting. It makes this whole point. And what perfect timing. So let me go here. Okay. This is what the ad will say. Colorado Right to Life public announcement. U.S. judicial crisis. Colorado Right to Life is informing pro-lifers of a crisis among the federal judiciary. For 35 years, pro-lifers had hoped that by electing pro-life presidents, such as Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George W. Bush, America would get judges who support the God-given right to life of the unborn. Justices, who we all hoped were pro-life, have made it increasingly clear that they are not. Antonin Scalia has publicly stated that he would strike down any law that prohibited abortion in all 50 states. And Clarence Thomas has ruled that the culture has the right to decide to legalize the killing of unborn children. Sadly, not even one of the seven current U.S. Supreme Court justices nominated by Republican presidents support the right to life of the unborn. Further, our pro-life presidents have nominated 60% of the U.S. federal judiciary. That's 60%. And yet the judiciary utterly rejects the right to life of the unborn. Also, we should remember that the pro-abortion Roe v. Wade decision was written by a Republican justice and passed by the Republican majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. You know what? I'm going to run out of time. I think I'll read the rest of this ad to you tomorrow, Lord willing. And soon we'll post it on the internet also. It'll be on ColoradoRightToLife.org's website. But you get the point, right? That there is a crisis, and we are being misled to think that we need one more judge, and then we could do the right thing. Yeah, that's not true. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a neat school. Well, they're going to have a groundbreaking ceremony March 25th, Tuesday at 2 in the afternoon. Lord willing, I'll be there. Bring a shovel. If you'd like to come, groundbreaking ceremony. It's going to be a lot of fun, and they're going to have a student center, which will have a 50-style diner, soda fountain, a media instruction classroom and lab, and a campus store nutrition center. So it'll be pretty neat. So come on out if you'd like to join us for that, March 25th, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, 72nd and Oak. Our website is KGOV.com. May God bless you.